Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. Coming up, get things done with our productivity roundup.
And is Facebook Places out to ruin your privacy?
Plus, iPads spotted in the wild, the celebrity edition.
All that plus our app caps, all next on iPad Today.
This episode of iPad Today is brought to you by iStock Photo, the web's original source for royalty-free stock images, media, and design elements to help you get creative with your website or blog. Check out their special offer at iStockPhoto.com/iPadShow. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to AudiblePodcasts.com/iPadToday. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com/TWiT. Hello there, Miss Sarah Lane.
Hi, Leah Laporte. How are you?
I was just going to say that. How are you? You look fantastic.
Well,
fabulous.
Thanks. I just got a haircut. I'm feeling very springy.
As you said on Twitter, you got fringed, not banged.
That's right.
And I understand why you said that.
Yeah. Well, I said both.
It looks cute.
I think one sounds better than the other.
It looks cute. I like it.
No, it's good.
You never comment on my hair.
I do, actually. It's just gray
and
shaggy. Did you get a haircut lately?
No.
Yeah.
Actually, last week.
You never know with boys.
You can't tell with boys.
It's short.
And women love to use that against their husbands. You didn't notice I got a haircut, didn't you?
Well, you know, someone very dear to me said, well, the color is great. And I said, I didn't get my hair colored.
You got to be careful.
I got bangs cut.
And how's that pregnancy going? You got to be careful, guys. This is something I have learned over the years. Today, we're going to talk about productivity apps on the iPad.
That's right. Productivity apps. Woohoo.
That's a big category.
We've talked about office apps in the past, and this is more geared towards getting things done, mm-hmm. doing things on the fly, making sure that you're able to digest information that's the least time consuming, I guess, and the most organizational.
First product I install on anything, whether it's an Android phone, an iPhone, or an iPad, and I was so pleased to see that they did an iPad application very early on, is the great Evernote. Do you use Evernote?
Yes, and I'm excited to kind of see how you use it on your iPad, because I've been using it on the web for years.
Well, that's the nice thing, is that it's on every platform you could possibly want. What happens is you create notebooks, and these notebooks can contain notes, mm-hmm. and everything. I use it for passwords, for serial numbers, things I'm trying to remember, research for this show even. You can tag them. This is really nice for the iPad. You can use GPS to tag them as well.
Hey,
so,
that's us.
Yeah. You know why? This is a note that I created here at the TWiT Cottage. So look, this is the places page. This is the iPad version, which is really nice. This is something that is not on some of the other versions. And you can use it. Windows, every platform, you can use it. It syncs to the, automatically syncs to the web. Now, I have a premium account. You can do this. The app's free. The syncing is free. But if you have the premium account, you get a few extra features, including one of the things I really like, which is it will do some text recognition on photos, which makes it much easier to find a photo. So if you take a photo of something, it will do the text recognition, and you can go back and search for the text that was in the photo. You can have some notebooks offline if you've got privacy issues. You know, you don't want everything on your iPad, but I have everything on my iPad. So that means even when I can't get online on the iPad, if I'm in an airplane, I can work in Evernote, and when I get back, I can synchronize with my notebook. Everything is synced on every platform. I mean,
and there are so many instances where I'm looking at something online and I go, oh, this is so cool. But later I kind of forget what I wanted to apply it to.
Right.
It was a website. I could just add a little Evernote. This would be great for iPad Today. Make a note to myself to maybe contact somebody I know over at Wired Magazine to talk about it, that kind of thing.
So I have hundreds and hundreds of notes in here.
Yeah,
and
what you like.
You could see some of these notes are pictures. And one of the things I do is I take pictures of wine bottles. If there's a wine I really like, I'll take a picture of it. This Bordeaux that we really liked, I said, was the best yet. Just downloading the picture.
That you've ever had ever?
Well, we were trying. We did a tasting. We went to Costco. John C. Dvorak said they've got great Bordeaux at Costco.
Costco and I bought wine tasting.
Half a dozen
Who
of
knew?
Them. I know. And Jennifer and I tried them, and this was the one we liked the best. So now I have a picture of it so that I can find it. I mean, how many times you say, that was a great wine, but you don't take the time to write it down?
Oh, if I don't make a note of it or take a picture, I'll never remember it
exactly.
again, no matter what I think.
So this
mentally,
is a really good
we
use.
We just don't have the space mentally to remember all the stuff. So it's such a good tool.
You can also do audio notes, which is really handy. It has a recorder built in. You can take pictures. I take pictures of parking spaces, so I won't forget where I parked.
Oh,
you can even
gosh,
use the geotagging to do it. I mean, I can go on and on. Beautiful interface. It's easily the best interface of any Evernote experience. Like, these are the tags. It's got searching, very powerful, capable searching, and you can save searches. So if there's a search you perform a lot, you see, I'm always searching for my credit card numbers. I have a credit card search. It will automatically bring me my credit
Let's
card
Let's open
notes.
That one.
Let's not.
I think Evernote.
Here's the vehicle identification number of my Mustang, because I can never remember that, so I took a picture of it.
Why do you need that?
Well, sometimes people, you know, when you fill out insurance forms and
right.
things like that.
Yeah, you're getting out of jail.
I was at people's houses. Jennifer says, hey, that's a really good-looking bush. What is that plant? I don't know. I take a picture of it using my iPhone
mm-hmm.
or my Droid. It'll work with anything that Evernote's on. And now it's in my database. I don't know. I don't even have to know what I took this picture with. And I can find the name of the plant and I can search for it later. So I look, it's free.
It's free.
Why not have it? Evernote. So that's my pick for number one. Actually, it was yours, but
that's okay.
I stole it.
Yeah, that's all right. I think one of the nice things about Evernote is not everybody uses it, but the people who do, everyone says, I can't live without it. Now that I have Evernote, I mean, the user experience definitely speaks for itself.
There are other notepad apps on the iPad, but this is my favorite.
Absolutely. Next part of our productivity theme, Instapaper. Now, many folks have heard of Instapaper, but if you haven't, I guarantee you, I'm about to change your life.
So how do you use Instapaper?
So what I do is, you know how you were talking about when you're doing research for one of these shows?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I have the same problem where I'm looking at a million sites on a regular basis, and I need to take a note, and I don't necessarily know what to do with it. I just want to know that I want to read it later.
Yeah.
So all I do is let's say, here, let me go to Safari first. So I'll show you how I do something like this.
You could have, and by the way, this works with a desktop computer too. You can have an Instapaper bookmark anywhere.
It absolutely does. In fact, Instapaper has been around on the desktop for quite a while. In fact, the programmer of Tumblr is the guy who made it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Arment. Yeah,
you're kidding.
Yeah, he's pretty smart. Anyway, so I've got this little Instapaper bookmark lit up at the top here. So if I wanted to save this page, this could be any web page, anything. I just hit the little link, and it lets me know, saved, up in the left-hand corner. Our wireless might be a little bit slow right now. But anyway, so...
And now you can read it later. For instance, I was...
And it could be about anything.
I was doing research on the McChrystal incident, so I just saved a bunch of columns... And now I can read them at any time. You have, what do you, Help for Autism? You have Photopedia.
Oh, it's I Help for Autism because it was a neat story about
that.
Kids who are taking to iPads. Oh, and I thought
neat.
To myself, I want to do something on our show. I don't know what yet, so I'm just going to save it for
Great
later.
Great for research.
Now, Instapaper has a free version, but the full version is $4.99. And the reason that it's great is because it gives you a bunch of different settings. For example, you can change the look. You know, you can have a dark interface. You can have rotation on. You can choose between scrolling or pagination for your articles. You can send, you can share with your Tumblr or Twitter accounts. You can add articles to a variety of different places. So let's say I go into, well, this is actually, that was just my little, let's go into this autism story because we were talking about before. So I read it and I'm really interested
in
it. Now
this is a good point, is that they're scraping the page, so it really makes it look like an article. You don't get a lot of the extra junk that you'd see on a
web page.
Exactly,
and that's the whole point of Instapaper is it's supposed to be a great tool for when you need to read stuff later, not only if you're online, but let's say you're offline. All you need to do is just load it up once. Then you can be underground on a subway and you're reading all your stuff because it's already been saved. So let's say I love this article. I think it's really amazing. And by the way, I can change a bunch of different text options. I can make it look a lot of different ways. If I send it, my sharing options are really great. I can email the link. I can post a Tumblr. I can send a Tweety or Twitter-later or Twitter. You know, it's making use of a lot of the best iPad apps out there. And then if I want to change to pagination, instead of scrolling, I just hit the bottom and it kind of has a Kindle feel
on
to
the
it.
iPhone. It does tilt scrolling. Does it do tilt scrolling on the iPad?
Sure does, and you can turn that on and off.
That's pretty cool. I know. So it'll scroll when you tilt it. I don't know. That may be a gimmick.
You can also star things for people who are they're used to sort of the Gmail way of organization or archive. That's all built in as well. You also have the ability to create folders so that you can organize your stuff. I mean, if you're saving enough articles, then saving alone. I haven't actually made too good a use of folders, but that's really my next step because I'm starting to save so many things that if I knew I want to save stuff for iPad, I want to save stuff for Green Tech, I want to save stuff for TNT, then that would just help me be organized even more. So Instapaper, couldn't recommend it more.
$4.99 on the iTunes App Store. There is another program very similar called Read It Later. Some people prefer it. I don't see much difference between the two. I've been an Instapaper user for years. Free to set up an account. There is an Instapaper Pro account, but you do need to buy the app. Our third app in our productivity category, and again, I'll emphasize, productivity could be a lot of things. So we just kind of picked three things that we found really useful and handy. This is called Elements. It's a text editor. Now, I know a lot of you spent the $10 on Pages and bought Pages, the word processor. But really, on the iPad, word processing probably is overkill. A text editor is probably all you need. And I think this is a really simple, nice text editor with one really nice feature. After you create your files, it automatically saves it to Dropbox.
Ooh,
now, everybody may not know what Dropbox is, but Dropbox is kind of the single most useful productivity tool out there. It is a website. You can get 2 gigabytes for free. I think I have a 50 or 60 gigabyte Dropbox account because we store so much stuff there. But what happens is Elements creates an Elements folder on Dropbox where anything that you create on the iPad is automatically saved and can be accessed anywhere else you access Dropbox. Now, Dropbox has clients for Windows and Mac. You could also do it through the web page. So the same document that is on my iPad is on my desktop.
Oh, that's great. And if you're already in Dropbox all the time then everything's just in a folder.
Yep.
So it's just super helpful.
For somebody who uses Dropbox or has heard about Dropbox and wants to use it, 2 gigs free, which is plenty for plain text files. And it really solves that problem, which I think is still a big problem, of getting files into and out of the Macintosh. You don't have to do any exporting. You don't have to do anything. You just edit it. Now, of course, as you would expect, it also has the capability of emailing your file somewhere. You're not stuck with just using Dropbox. You can export it. There are a lot of other features. There's a scratch pad on it, which is a great place to kind of put stuff for later use. You have font control. Not a huge selection of fonts, but pretty good.
I don't know. That's plenty.
That's more than enough.
That's plenty. I know some people go font crazy, but I only need like 5.
Type sizes from 8-point to 24-point. You do have colored text, which gives you some.
You can customize it to a point.
Yeah,
you can choose violet text, for goodness sake.
Yeah, you could choose black text on a black background if you really want to go crazy. There is a spell checker. It does support Text Expander for those of you who use Text Expander. And that would be another kind of freebie tip on the iPad and the iPhone and on the Mac, certainly. Text Expander is great. Simple, not a complicated program, not super elaborate, but also not super expensive. $4.99. It's called Elements, Dropbox powered text editor from Second Gear. Just another handy productivity tool for getting data, text primarily into and out of your iPad.
So those were our three favorite productivity apps for the week. We always want to hear your suggestions, and we've loved the ones that you've had so far. In fact, we decided to do productivity apps because we've gotten so many suggestions of people saying, loved the office apps, but more productivity apps. You know, how do I keep organized? How do I get things done? So if you have ideas, if you want to watch our productivity apps again, or you want to watch our office apps, that was episode 3, you can visit us at twit.tv/IPT. And if you have a theme idea of your own, you can let us know at iPadToday@twit.tv. Speaking of episode 3, we did get an email from Susan Galbraith, who's a senior energy analyst at Tatum Engineering. She had a really good point. We had gone over Pages and Numbers in Keynote. She wrote in to say, Pages and Numbers for the iPad, they don't allow the user to insert comments or other editor's notes to documents. And part of my work,
I can't annotate, which is really annoying. Yeah.
Involves mentoring our new employees. And so she has to be out and about marking their documents on the fly. iPad's not useful for that. This limitation is a serious problem for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people, like educators or members of project teams, but she has a workaround. She loves an application called iAnnotate PDF, which allows the user to insert notes and highlighting into PDF files. So if she wants to edit something or write a note or highlight, she can convert the document to a PDF and then annotate to her heart's content with iAnnotate PDF. She says, I'd prefer if pages and numbers were updated to allow editing, but since they're not, iAnnotate PDF is better than carrying a MacBook Pro and also the iPad when I'm traveling for work.
I actually use it. Steve Gibson recommended this to me as a great way to do annotated PDFs. It's one of the few applications that will let you do that on the iPad, and you can see I'm doing it right now. Really, I agree. iAnnotate PDF is expensive. It's not a cheap application, but it is very useful.
Yeah, I think it's about $20.
Yeah, I bought it immediately after Steve described it. It really is cool.
Well, you know, she made a really good case, and I can think of many professions where people would really need something like that. And hey, if numbers or pages aren't doing it for you, then it's a really good option as well. So
thank you,
Susan.
That's we get a fourth, an extra, a freebie.
We do.
From just thanks to Susan.
Well, some of our audience members are really smart.
They really are.
If you're
so smart, you ought to know about Audible.com.
Oh, yes.
Do you ever
listen
to audiobooks?
Yeah. In fact, I'm doing this little experiment. I was talking to Amber about it the other day where I'm reading a book called Let the Great World Spin. Mm. I'm really interested in it, and I'm going to listen to the audiobook immediately afterwards and see how it helps my imagination sort of morph.
I think you're actually onto something. Listening to a book
is different.
It is very different. It triggers different centers. I find listening to fiction like watching a movie. My mind draws a picture. And when I've listened to great books, the great thrillers and so forth, I feel like I've already seen the movie. So I always listen before I go to a movie. And that's one thing Audible's great for. If you've got a commute, if you're in the gym, I don't commute anymore. I started Audible when I was doing the screensavers, and I would listen nonstop.
Yeah, we've reversed ourselves.
You commute.
You don't commute, and now I commute up
here.
Yeah,
but I do go to the gym every day, and that's an hour of reading I get every day, which I love. So you this is the 2009... award winner
so
for
National so far,
Book
too.
Award winner for fiction. You really like it.
Oh, Colin McCann.
You know what? This is going to be nice because it's a performance. It's not. Let me play just a little bit of this for you so you can hear
it. Yeah, there's a bunch of
it's a performance.
Voices.
Sometimes they do this on Audible.com. Instead
Con
of Sharks, just reading it, they
Con
perform
Ed,
it.
Ma Bell, Wall Street. A locksmith in his van on the corner of Dye and Broadway. A bike messenger lounging against a lamppost.
I'm adding this to my list, I have to say. Now, here's a way you can get this for free. Just go to audible.com, actually audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. And this book or any one of the 75,000 titles at audible.com, almost all of them are a single credit, could be yours. You can cancel at any time, and that first book is yours for free to keep forever. audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. If you haven't started listening, it works great on the iPad. You've got to. audiblepodcast.com/iPad.
Free book.
We thank them for their support. What's the name of that book again?
Let the Great World Spin by Colin McCann.
I'm adding that to it.
Oh,
so
what's
it about?
Great. It's you know how there was a French tightrope walker that walked between the Twin Towers?
Yeah, loved that.
It's a fictional novel about the people who were living their lives in New York City when that actual historical event occurred. So it's a fictional novel, but it's based on non-fictional events.
Philippe Petit, have you seen the documentary they did about that?
No.
Well, you got to see that before you read the book. It's awesome.
Darn it. I'm doing it backwards.
Chat room, what's the name of that? The Philippe Petit, it's on Netflix. You can watch it streaming on your iPad.
Oh, my gosh.
It is so good.
Well, it's an extraordinary event. And
Man on a Wire. Thank you, Tons, 1999.
You know what's so funny? When I hear Man on a Wire, I think of Man on Fire, which is that Denzel Washington movie, which takes place down in Mexico. Oh, wow. Yeah, totally different movie.
Must watch.
Man on a Wire. I'll have to.
And I think it'll give some depth to the book as you read it. Now I want to read their book. That's a great recommendation.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, Audible.
So what's the latest news from the iPad world?
Well, Facebook Place is launched.
Yeah. So I have my iPhone, and it's not doing it yet. It says, you'll be included as soon as we get around to it.
Well, you know,
is it doing it on yours?
What happened was, on my iPad, I decided to try to fire up the guy. And when you search for places, this is at least as of last night, in the store, nothing comes up. Or if you try to just update your Facebook app,
right,
nothing comes up. But if you search for it, and then you reinstall.
So you have to force install.
You have to force
the next
install,
version,
or at least you know you did last night. Then I get my little places. If you can see here, see there's
there
little
is.
Places guy.
But then click it.
Then if I click it, I only get updates from some friends.
Look, Tom's here.
Oh well. Well,
it's starting to work.
It's starting to work.
Woohoo!
Hey, cool.
Well, TechCrunch's MG Siegler was there. He was at the event, and he joins us right now.
In fact, he's already updated that he's at his home.
We now know where you are, MG.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's great. Good to see you. Welcome to iPad Today. Tell us, you went to, Facebook had an event last night to introduce places.
Right. Yeah, so it was an event that went on for quite a while down at Facebook's headquarters in Palo Alto. And, you know, they really put together kind of a big presentation. It's a little weird going down there. It's always kind of like being at college again. But, you know, they showed off what is their location-based service now, which is called Places, and it's basically a new check-in app.
So it's competing with Foursquare, Gowalla, Yelp.
But it's also
who else is doing check-in now? There's that new scavenger.
Working with all these folks, though, too. So that's sort of unclear, isn't it?
Right. So they had... they had Foursquare, Gowalla, Booyah, which makes that app MyTown, but they're doing a new app now.
I actually
now,
like or, MyTown. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's more of a game based around location. And then also Yelp. We're all there to be launch partners of this thing. So they're basically using the API, and when you check in via one of these apps, be it, you know, Foursquare or Gowalla, it will push it into this new places area inside of Facebook.
So you don't have to use the Facebook check-in. You could use... these other programs, and it would just... But I could always do that. I could just add the RSS to my stream. What's new?
That's the interesting thing about the Foursquare implementation in particular, because... So Gowalla is doing it a little bit different, where I believe they're going to use read and write access, so you'll be able to check in on Facebook and have it pushed to your Gowalla app, and so people can see in your Gowalla stream that you're also... checked in via Facebook. But Foursquare, as far as I know right now, is only doing it the same way basically that they have been doing it, where you check in via the Foursquare app and you can push it to the Places stream. It's just now it resides in this new Places area rather than being just kind of vague status update.
But isn't the weird thing about the way that Facebook is implementing Places and people are always up in arms about Facebook privacy in general is that you could check in somewhere and say that I was with you without me checking in and let everybody know where I am, which is out of my control.
So this is the big kind of feature that they talked about a little bit, and you know Zuckerberg kind of played it that this was their differentiating factor. So basically, you can check in somewhere, and you can tag anyone that you're friends with on Facebook to say that you're there with them. But there's
a few
interesting points of this, because first of all, when you tag someone and say
that
you're there with them, they have to actually they have to okay it. They have to say like, yeah, it's okay if they tag me. That I'm here right now. And it's like either a yes, it's okay, or it's a not now, later. So there's no like opt out in that little pop-up that comes up, but you can go into your privacy settings and say like, don't let anyone tag me. And of course, it's important to note that you can only tag people you're actually friends with on Facebook. It's not just like I can tag anyone in the world.
But you can imagine how complicated that would be if you and I go somewhere and you've let the third person know that you've gone to the dentist, and then all of a sudden I've tagged you, and then they get their feelings hurt. It's just complicated.
They're open up. But this is the problem with Facebook in general. It's just a way to hurt people's feelings. That's really what it's turned into.
That's Zuckerberg's main goal, isn't it?
That's what all of this, unfortunately, all of this publicity has done. It hurts people. At F8, they showed, they kind of talked a little bit about this, and they showed an RFID tag that you could wear that would automatically check you in.
Right. Yeah, they've been doing stuff like that for a while. They said they've been experimenting with what exactly they want to do, you know, in the location space. And they actually have this thing. It started as, I think, a keg bot, where, you know, they have a keg inside the Facebook offices. And if you have your badge, you just go up to it and swipe it and says, like, hey, so-and-so Facebook employee just checked in at the keg bot. So, you know, obviously they're drinking right now. And, yeah, they did it at F8, and that's the same thing.
It really is a frat party there.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, we should, of course, say that this is off by default. You don't have to use this. You opt in. Thank you, Facebook, for at least doing it opt-in. Boy, they would have hit a real storm if they had made it automatically on.
Oh, there's still going to be a storm. I mean, within like a half an hour of them announcing this, the ACLU had a post ready to go.
Oh,
I don't know how they already knew like some of the details about it, but they had, you know, like a 500-word post ready to go.
What did they say? What is the ACLU saying about this?
They didn't like... Oh, what don't they like? they didn't like that if you opt in to use it and tag your location, that you can't specifically state which groups or which people you want to see your location. It's either all or nothing. So, you know,
and by the way, this is what Google has been saying again and again and again, is there are not, it's not a homogenous group of people. You have close friends, you have family, there's different stuff. And this is, I think, what Google is saying is we're not going to do it the same way. Facebook continues to say, everybody's your friend.
Well, and Facebook is the one place where, I mean, I'm friends with people I didn't even like in high school, and
that's the
problem. It's different from Twitter because it's a two-way friendship kind of a thing, and that gets complicated.
I will say that's kind of one major issue with this, is that obviously Facebook didn't launch with location, whereas something like Foursquare did. Right. You know, it was all about that to begin with. So it's like, are the people that you friended on Facebook necessarily people that you want to be sharing your location
not
with?
Necessarily.
If you do want to share your location,
MG Siegler writes for TechCrunch. He's also on TechCrunch TV, TechCrunch.com. He's the best writer there.
I think easily. So
and a handsome, handsome guy.
Thank you. Okay. I like those glasses.
Did you choose them, Sarah Lane?
No, I did not.
Thank you.
His own glasses.
Thanks, MG. Great to talk to you again.
Bye, MG.
Yeah, thanks,
Take care. MG Siegler from TechCrunch.com.
He's like their location guy, too. So
is
he's
he?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's like the Foursquare, I don't know. Aficionado, if there is one.
I check in all the time.
He's always getting crap from the TechCrunch commenters about that, but I don't know. It's interesting. It's fascinating, right?
You should see at the bottom. I have a row on my phone where it's Foursquare. I don't do Gowalla anymore. I had to leave something out.
Me too.
Foursquare. This new Pick Please thing, which is a Android application to take a picture and check in on Foursquare. Scavenger, which is a new one I kind of like. It's a scavenger hunt. And then finally, Yelp, because Yelp has check-in.
Oh, wait till you get into food spotting.
Food spotting.
Oh, yeah. You take pictures of food and let people know where you had this great, you know, granola bar. Or you would love this because it applies to wine.
This is part of the Facebook thing too, right?
You should get the food spotting guys on because they've got a great app.
Deal.
We did promise folks in the past that we were going to continue the very popular iPad Spotted in the Wild. And you've actually done all my work for me because we had two folks email in. Celebrity-sighted iPad spotted in the wild. The first one sent in from Robert Watson in Tucson, Arizona. Eva Longoria on the set of Desperate Housewives, everyone. Seen carrying an iPad. She looks in full makeup, probably walking to or from her trailer.
Look at that. Now, she has her charger.
She has her charger.
Not a traditional iPad charger, by the way. I'm going to point that out. That's
old school.
Or is it the official one? Maybe it is. I don't think it is. I think that's a laptop charger.
Yeah, the official one's just like an iPhone.
Yeah, it's small.
Yeah.
And it appears that she's using the Apple case.
Ah, she's a tried and true early adopter. Do it the easy way.
Talking about overanalyzing.
You know what?
Is she wearing Max Factor? I don't know. Let's take a look. Let's see what that...
Well, her hair looks lovely. That's for sure.
Lovely.
It's nice to know that that not only is Eva Longoria using an iPad, but the Desperate Housewives is still being shot.
I love that show.
Next celebrity sighting, iPad spotted in the wild, on the set of Little Red Riding Hood, sent in by Tony Upko from across the pond.
And
that's
look,
all he would tell us.
Is that Mira Wasikowska?
It's Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, I love her.
She was from Mean Girls. And is also on polygamy show?
Yes, True Love. Big Love. Yeah,
she is.
She's the daughter in Big Love. There it is.
Using the iPod. It's the modern basket for Little Red Riding Hood, apparently.
And interestingly, no case, no charger. And she's got, I don't know, is that her pencil case on that up above?
I don't know.
I think she's doing her schoolwork.
Or you know what we should do in a future episode? There are lot of script writing and reading apps as well.
I have
for
a couple.
Movie producers and screenwriters and actors. And
Caltex, which is an open source one, is imported to the iPad. We'll do that. That'd be a good one.
That would be a good one. Yeah. I agree. So iPads in the wild.
In the wild.
Celebrity sightings galore. Send yours in. They don't have to be celebrities, by the way. They could be anybody. This is what you gave me. And they're pretty, so...
This portion of the iPad Today Show brought to you by our friends at Squarespace. I know Sarah Lane is a Squarespace user. We use Squarespace as our blogging platform.
Oh, yes.
At Inside Twit. It's inside.twit.tv if you want to see our Squarespace site. Squarespace is where great websites begin. A fantastic platform for creating your new website. Alex Lindsay was saying to us on Mac Break Weekly that a lot of web designers have kind of gotten out of the business. Because Squarespace makes it so easy to create a professional site for anybody. Whether you're a photographer, whether you want to do e-commerce, if you're blogging, if you want forums, they've got great iPhone app. You could use the iPhone app on the iPad. I wish they do an iPad app. Dane, Anthony, we want an iPad app. Yes. You could try it free right now for 14 days. Go to squarespace.com/twit. We don't have an iPad today link yet. Squarespace.com/twit and take a look. My suggestion to you, if you're interested in Squarespace, is go to squarespace.com/twit and click the examples button up there and see other people's sites. Sarah's is on there. Yeah. Kevin Rose. A lot of people use Squarespace. And the thing...
It gives you a good idea of how diverse your website can look using the same platform.
Exactly. I mean, look at this. Is Don Imus's site. And you wouldn't look at it and say, oh, that's a Squarespace site.
No.
But he's get all the advantages of Squarespace. Easy design, easy modification. You can import from WordPress, TypePad, Blogger, movable type. You can export back out so you're never tied in there. And Squarespace gives you great stats. And best of all, if you're a big shot like Imus, you don't ever have to worry about running out of bandwidth, because Squarespace is a very, very slick VPS technology. Means as much bandwidth as you need when you need it at Squarespace.com. Pricing's right, too. We're going to make it even better. It starts at $8 a month. If you use TWIT as your offer code, you'll get 10% off for the life of your site. 10% off for the life of your site. Squarespace.com/TWIT. We thank them so much for their support of iPad Today.
Love the Squarespace. You know who else we love?
Who else?
Our viewers.
We do love them.
Our audience. People who listen. People who watch.
Couldn't do a show without them.
If you listen, I don't know what you're listening to, because we're talking about a bunch of visual things, but you can do whatever you want as long as you're enjoying yourself. Got a voicemail from Colin Davis from England, and he has an idea for an iPad Today segment, which I like to call iPad Confessions.
Let's listen.
The question could be, how has the iPad changed the way you live your business and personal life? And what can you achieve now that you couldn't achieve before?
That's a good question.
Has it enriched or detracted from the quality of your life? I have one to start you off. So possessed have I become with the iPad that yesterday my wife Linda gave me an ultimatum. Do not bring that thing to bed, or there will be consequences. No decoding necessary. Great show. Look forward to one every week.
Oh,
thank
Colin.
You very much.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you, Colin.
I've heard that ultimatum.
First of all, Colin should do audiobooks.
Yeah, I love his voice.
I know. Second, I'm very sorry about that, Linda. We'll try to... I don't know. Actually, we're only making the problem worse, because we're just going to keep doing the show.
We have a term in the cottage, LSS, long-suffering spouse. Linda's obviously an LSS.
She is. Linda, we feel for you. don't quite have a solution, but Colin Davis thinks. I think that's a great idea. I think...
That was a confession.
That was, yes. I'm calling them iPad confessions, but the idea was all Colin, so thanks for that. If you have an iPad confession of your own, it could be good, it could be bad, or anything in between, you should let us know. You can call us at 757-504-iPad, or for extra points, you can send us a video. And you know who did that
who
already?
Did that? Who did that?
Oh, one James Sapoznik, who lives in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Let's hear from him here.
I want to let you know that I bought my iPad specifically for my kids as an educational tool. All the math apps, the spelling apps, the reading apps on there are incredible, and they use it all the time, and they really love it, and they're getting smarter. So love the show. Thank you very much. Tune in every week. Bye-bye.
I'd agree. I think it's a – Alex Lindsay has also said that. He the Dr. Seuss books for his little – boy who's an early reader.
Well, that's so funny. Somebody emailed the Dr. Seuss.
Let's do a survey of those. There's another category.
Yeah.
But I haven't had occasion to download them because I don't have little kids, nor do you. But Alex says, you know, do you remember? You probably don't. But the Broderbund had a Living Books series where there was Arthur and a bunch of other books. When my kids were little, this was on the computer. They would click and it would read to them, and it was wonderful. This is so much more personal.
See, when I was a kid, we had 45 records, and you'd follow along and it would go ding.
Yeah,
you were supposed to change
I remember
the
that.
Page.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, because, you know, I grew up in the 50s.
No, you didn't.
Well,
you
feels
lie.
Like it sometimes. Well,
you
I didn't
lie.
Have computers, that's for sure. I had little 45 records on my Fisher-Price record player.
All right.
No, I think, you know what, we've had a lot of feedback from people saying that the iPad is great for their kids. You know what would be interesting? And I think that this is probably something that James and maybe a lot of other people are running into. If you've got multiple people sharing a single iPad in the home,
yeah.
Wouldn't multiple user accounts be a good idea? Now, this is not just multiple iTunes accounts.
They desperately need this.
Because, you load up the iPad and you don't want the view that, your older brother has. He's interested in all these sorts of different things. I would love to see that.
I'm kind of with you on this one. I think this is a probably...
Everybody has their own iPad.
Probably Steve Jobs saying, no, everybody should have their own iPad.
Well,
that's I'm almost willing to bet that. You know, a computer has logins, you have different accounts. But I think Steve really feels like this is the ultimate in personal.
Right.
And I kind of understand, but not everybody could afford to spend $500 to $800 on
these things. Yeah, I mean, it's just not realistic for a family of five to have five iPads. No. You're probably going to have one and everybody gets their time.
You know what you need?
What?
Let me get it. Everybody should have this.
A rubber ball?
No, a cleaner. Because when you got the kids, when you have the kids messing with your iPad, you need a good way to clean
it.
We've been using this screen guard. There's also clear screen is very good. This is fun because it's a foam and it has a little towel in the lid. And
it's the best.
If you, we use it before every show. And if you are letting kids use an iPad, you desperately need a good cleaner.
You do.
Hey, can I tell you something else, just a behind-the-scenes little something?
Totally.
Last week, we talked about the iLove, i-luv.com, the glare guards that Steve Gibson recommended.
Right. And you promised that you'd show us how
I was going to put it on. We ran out of time in the show, but I have put it on now. And let me tell you, that's one of the reasons these screenshots look so good. Look, it's turned the glossy iPad screen into a matte screen. Now, I happen to like glossy screens, but if you don't, or if you have the same issue we have, which is you're shooting this on camera, look how much nicer. I don't know if you've noticed, but how much nicer.
It looks so much better. See, look at mine. I mean,
I could do my makeup in that. Look at that.
Ooh,
hey, everybody.
That's meta, all right. Wow. But I mean, that's why I got this 17-inch matte screen. I love the matte.
Yeah.
The matte is just, it's glossy, looks
nice. I'm a glossy guy, but you don't have a choice, and that's the point. On the iPad, you don't have a choice, and now you do. These are $14. You can find them. I-love.com sells them for $20. Amazon has them for $14. For two, you will want to. Steve Gibson told me that because the first one is always a flop, partly because there's dust, microscopic dust, and every bit of dust on there gives you a little air bubble. So I swore. I said, no, I can do this. Never did do it. I did it on the GizWiz. Never quite got it right. However, you put the first one on, you learn how to do it, you peel it off, it takes all the dust with it. The second one went on, and there's not an air bubble at all in here. It's beautiful.
It looks so good.
You could see a little bubble here just on the edge, but this I never worked on it because the case hides it anyway. But that's what a bubble will look like, and you don't want that. So be prepared. It's $15. They give you two, but it takes some effort to do it right. But once you get it on there, if you want a matte screen, this is the way to do it. Do you want a matte screen? Should I get one for you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
I want matte all the way, you know? It's how I do my makeup, and it's how I like my iPad.
Oh, no, I'm shiny.
Unshiny. Get rid of the grease. Should we move on to the best part of the show that everyone waits with bated breath for week after week?
We put on our AppCaps!
It's the AppCaps Awards!
AppCaps! And thanks once again to Fezorama.com for our fabulous Twit Fezzes, the app caps of the week.
My bangs have...
You've got a fringe on your cap.
Things have gotten weird.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, you look so cute in that. That is adorable. Isn't she cute in her little app cap? So our app cap award goes to the application of the week that we really particularly like.
I've got one, Leo.
All right.
I've got one. If you're familiar with the folks at Cool Iris.
They do a plugin for Firefox, I think, that is a really nice way to look at images.
Yeah, yeah. They also have a web app. It's sort of a way to browse the web that's much more visual. So they've got an iPad app called Discover. And what they've done, it's so cool. They've
made Wikipedia
a photo-esque magazine in a way. And actually, I have to give credit to MG because he's the one who showed me this. Here, I'll show you in magazine mode. So what Discover
this
does...
This is fantastic.
If you're sort of just interested in... And I can't be the only one who literally just goes to Wikipedia sometimes just to waste some time and get lost in some information. Yeah. What they've suggested to me is, how about Constantine II of Scotland? You want to know more about him? Let's just say I do. I probably wouldn't normally, but let's just say I do. So I'll go, yeah, sure, let's do that. Now, in the bottom area, it'll say downloading from Wikipedia because it has to pull a bunch of Wikipedia information each time we get into one of these things.
It won't work offline. You need to have it online.
It has to be online. But then, so let's say, okay, so we're at Constantine of Scotland. What I can do is I can just go through these pages or in the related articles section. This is a lot like Wikipedia, but it's just organized better. So let's say I want to go, let's go into Malcolm the First of Scotland, who probably preceded him, and learn a little more about this. Now, let's say that you go, all right, well, this seems cool, but this is just not stuff I'm interested in. I can't imagine, you know, caring about Constantine. That's fine because you can search Wikipedia just like you would normally. Mm. So I could put in anything right now. And just to show you, I searched you earlier, Leo. Uh-oh. So I just searched Leo Gordon Laporte on Wikipedia, and it's great what comes up because...
What comes up? Now I'm worried.
Well, it's a beautiful picture.
Oh, it's a nice image, and look how the typeface is.
And it's a little bit about you, some of your background,
television, they take the sections and they turn them into magazine-style sections.
Exactly, and you've got a couple different views that you can look
at.
This
is quite nice.
Then, you know, there's a screensavers link, and I was interested in that, and I clicked on that. Again, it downloads the stuff from Wikipedia.
So there have been a number of Wikipedia apps for the iPhone and the iPad, but there's nothing like this. This is the most lovely of them all.
Oh, it's the best. It's so cool because I will say that over the years, I love Wikipedia as much as I always did, but if I had to gripe about anything, it's that it's ugly and, you know, there's not much to it.
So search for Discover, and there are several Discovers. You'll get Wikipedia in a magazine as one of your search results. It is free, which is awfully nice.
It's completely free, and not
you can start
only,
with a new cover every day.
Oh, and you know what a fun little trick is? When you first load it, it'll suggest something to you, and if you don't like it, you shake the iPad, and it'll say, okay, fine, I'll give you another random suggestion.
I love it.
Isn't that great?
So I could swipe through the
photo of the day. Yeah, so these are choices that they have, but if you don't like it, you can go, nah, let's shake, and then it'll say, okay, well, let's just give you something else. I think you have to shake when you're in portrait mode, not landscape mode.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is really great. And if you want to know more, you just tap the article. Oh, it's downloading. I see. See, this is what you were talking about. There's a little delay.
There's a little lag at the beginning when it pulls all the information that you might want. Still gives you some tips and things like that. But I got to tell you, if I'm going to browse Wikipedia and I was just looking up this... Don't hurt yourself.
I broke my iPad.
Don't break it.
That's really nice. I really like that. And, you know, we were talking about so educational uses for the iPad. Wikipedia is a great educational resource. I remember when I was a kid reading the encyclopedias, and I think you want kids to be browsing through items like this. I think that's really a neat idea.
And Wikipedia, I mean, let's face it, it's at the top of, you know, half of my search results when I'm searching for something anyway. Yeah. I love having the option to look at it differently on the iPad because I don't particularly like reading Wikipedia on the web. It's just that the information is so great.
Boy, they did a nice job on this. That is really beautiful.
Isn't that fun?
Thanks, Cool Iris.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my app is kind of a meta app. It's the kind of app that people who listen to this show probably would be very interested in. And in fact, I think it was a listener to this show or a viewer of this show who suggested it. It's called App Advice. It's from a webpage of the same name. And really, it's just kind of an app review page. Would you like to review? Now, I hate it when they do this because it pulls you out of the app if you say yes. It pulls you into the iTunes store. They're asking me if I want to review it later. But right now, there it is. There's the app advice. So it's got app news on this side. It's got featured stories. If you like this show, this is kind of a static version of a lot of the content that's on this show in an application. So this is for people who are absolute junkies. There's only one negative on this one.
What is it?
It ain't free. $1.99 for app advice from appadvice.com.
Then again, if you feel sort of overwhelmed and inundated with apps that may or not be good and you need somebody, I mean, it's like buying a magazine to help you figure out which
buy it once and it's always updated. And the nice thing about this is it really does keep you up to date on what's new in applications and so forth. It's appadvices.com has always been one of the places I've gone to look for apps for the show. So this brings it to your iPad.
Yeah, it used to be, what was it like? iPhone app. World, or they changed to App Advice because they realized, hey, we can open this up to a lot more devices.
Absolutely. And I have to say, one of the things that's really going well, I think, for the iPad is people are thinking of new ways to display content like this. I thought the Cool Iris was an example. Of course, mm-hmm. we've looked at Plus and Flipboard before. This also has that kind of Flipboardy feel to it, or Plus feel to it.
Very much.
I like what people are doing with the interfaces now on the iPad to make it really easy to read.
Me too. It's so great to just see things being done differently. You know?
Can you believe?
We're having a web renaissance.
I agree. Can you believe we have 3 commercials in this show?
I'm glad we do.
We want to really
thank
our
sponsors.
Advertisers for supporting this show. This is fantastic. And I think somewhat, this is Russ Pitts says to rap.
Thanks, Tom.
We're only 15 minutes long. Quickly.
We're almost done, Russ.
Russ Pitts was an old producer, web producer on the Screensavers. Line producer.
Who used to pull out his hair because
we would never wrap on time. Yeah. And he quit with the most...
He threw a pencil at me once.
He pulled a Michael Slater. Was that the guy who pulled the escape slide?
2 words.
Slide?
Eagle semen.
He wrote one of those classic letters. If we could find it, we'll read it to you.
Oh, Prager has it.
Prager
he
has
saved it. Yeah. One day.
When people quit with bravado, with gusto, with flair,
via
in this
email.
Case, via email.
To the whole company.
Because there wasn't
about 450.
If there had been an escape slide at Tech TV, he would have pulled it.
Well, you know what the best part of this is? I always have to tell the story when this gets brought up. Russ, I'm sorry.
We love Russ.
He sent the email. Everyone knew that it was his last day.
Yeah.
And people started to read the email. And he got up triumphantly, walked out. And as the door slammed behind him, you hear someone go, "Who's Russ Pitts?" It was the best. He was a great guy.
Look, folks,
love him.
I apologize in advance. If you hated Tech TV or you never heard of Tech TV, it's just going to be something you're going to always hear about on this network.
We can't help ourselves. There's just so much history there.
We got the story. Hey, real quickly before we go, and maybe next week we'll have that Russ Pitts letter from David Prager. but I do want to mention our friends at iStock Photo. What a great place for people who do blogging or websites. You know, I told you about Squarespace, but anytime you blog, I'm sure you do this, Sarah Lane. There should be an image in every blog post, right? You should
totally.
Otherwise, it's plain text.
All the good blogs do it, and you don't even notice it until someone doesn't have that, and then you go, "Oh, this blog is boring. It seems unfinished."
If you're looking at Pulse, for instance, and you're looking at people's blogs, if there's no graphic with the blog, you're just going to get a plain text post like this. That stinks.
Yeah.
There's the New York Times. Come on, Times. Let's have some images like these other guys.
Even if the content's good, it all looks the same. You got to stand out.
iStock Photo. That's the place to go. The original source for high-quality stock images. Not just images. Media, design elements on the web.
Music.
Royalty-free. They've got flash files.
Sound effects.
3D renders.
All sorts of good stuff. Logos are coming
yeah,
even.
Yeah, I love that. iStockphoto.com/iPad show. If you go there right now, they have a special offer just for you. They've been doing it for 10 years, and they've gotten better and better. Almost all the pros I know who've been doing blogs or websites, doing podcasts, who need royalty-free quality images starting as low as $1 each, they go to iStock Photo. For 15% off bundles of 50 credits or more, go to iStockPhoto.com/iPad show. We love you, iStock Photo. Thank you for supporting.
Thank you, iStock Photo.
iPad today. We love you.
We love you.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us on iPad today.
It's been a great show. See you next week. In the meantime, go to twit.tv/IPT to subscribe and download and watch everything.
And Russ Pitts says, that's a wrap.
Yay. I thought you were going to say, and Russ Pitts says,
screw you, Eagle Seaman. What? Do you? Anybody want to do a dramatic? I'd like to do a dramatic reading of that letter.
Oh, it's. You don't even have. You could read it monotone. It would still be dramatic.
I probably have it somewhere. Sorry, we're so long.
It was one of the most wonderful masterpieces ever to come out of Tech TV.
It was a memory.